Coming up on DTNS, it's our 2023 listener episode. We have a current tech events quiz, a geeky debate, and we'll decide what gadgets should go onto the Mount Rushmore of tech. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, December 26th, 2023 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from studio, I don't even know where I am. I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
That's right, folks. Everybody on this show should realize it's December 26th, the day after Christmas, 2023. That's the day it is when you say anything on this show. Welcome to our end of the year listener show. This is the annual episode where we invite several of our supporters to appear alongside us right here on the show. And there was a listener suggested, why don't you do some of those Friday quizzes, that GDI fun stuff in the show? So we decided to take a cue from our Friday GDI, and we've made this episode the quiz and debate show to play along with us. Thank you to everybody who submitted your name. There were obviously way more people than we could have on the show. But Roger used a very sincere and complex method to narrow it down to these three people. Welcome to the show, Sang, George Sang from London. It's good to have you on the show, man. Indeed. And thank you for the support, which I will be saying to everybody, including Tom D, a.k.a. Captain Jack 913. Welcome, Tom. It's good to have you.
Hi. Good to be here. thank you for having me.
Thank you for your support. And longtime supporter of not only this show, but lots of other shows that we've done. Gary Fisher, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I think I told you about 7 or 8 years ago I was going to figure out a way to get on your show, and I finally did it.
And you did it. That's fantastic. Gary, thank you for your support over all these years as well. Sarah, we have our contestants.
We do. All right. For this challenge, we have 10 tech questions that are based on actual tech stories that we have covered on DTNS over the past year. Now, all of you may remember these stories, but maybe not all the details associated with these stories. So the way it's going to work is if you think you know the answer, raise your hand. We call on you. You give us an answer. If you're right, yay, you had a point. If you're wrong, somebody else gets to try. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, all right. All right.
Ready.
Tom D, George, and Gary, playing some fun trivia. Question number one. How much did Twitter sell for? Gary.
Was it 40 billion?
You're close, but not quite.
44?
That's correct. Don't know that you were supposed to get 2 tries in a row, but nobody else volunteered. So, you know, we're just gonna make this up as we go along. All right, Gary gets a point. Woo! Is anybody keeping score? If not, I'll do it right here. All right. And question number two. Which of Google's large language models was Bard originally based on? Tom.
It wasn't Gemini, was it?
It was not originally Gemini. No, Gary or George?
No idea.
All right. The correct answer is Lambda family of large language models, LLMs, were later upgraded to Palm and then Gemini. All right. So we got Gary for question one. Question two, nobody got. But hey, you can all come back for question three. What is the process size in nanometers of Huawei's Kirin chip found inside the Mate 60 smartphone that supposedly worked around U.S. technology export controls to China? Gary.
4 microns?
No. It's a process, one might say.
Yeah, what is the process size in nanometers? So microns would not be the correct answer.
4 nanometers.
It's not 4, Gary.
Okay.
George or Tom D? Either of you want to take a... let's go, Tom.
I guess 25.
I'm gonna do 3 nanometers.
Well, you're both wrong, unfortunately. Yeah. But Tom gets to do the wrong button. I might not have remembered this either, to be honest. All right, everybody had a guess, and the answer is 7 nanometers. Lucky number 7. All right, seven. Moving on to question 4. What is the name of Jeff Keighley's summer event, which now has de facto replaced E3 in 2023? Anybody watch the show today? You would have heard it. Oh, I mean the show.
You mean the show last week?
On December 12th.
Two weeks ago.
I don't remember that far back.
No. When I used to.
That makes sense.
A show from a garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Why'd you go back to that look? This just classic end of year.
I just thought it would be kind of fun and retro for just the show today.
So you created a background.
All right. Jeff Keighley's summer event. No more E3, but we still have Gary.
E2?
I like it. I like where
points
you're going with
creativity.
That, but unfortunately not called E2. Tom D.
Nintendo Direct.
Not Nintendo Direct either. We're getting farther away, I think.
George, want to guess? Yep.
GameFest.
Now that sounds similar.
Game Festival,
but unfortunately, no one got this right. It is the Summer Game Fest.
I think we give him points for getting 2/3.
All right. You get 2/3.
2/3 of a point.
So
yeah.
Gary is in the lead with 1, with George in a close second place with 2/3. Tom D still at 0. But Tom D, you can take it back now. In question 5, what date did Netflix's DVD service officially send out its last discs? This is pretty specific. All right, Gary, I think you want it by hair there.
I'm going to guess October 1st.
Now, you are close. You are very close, but not quite right. Tom, your hand was up as well.
September 30th?
Oh, even closer. My gosh, even closer. George?
September the 31st?
Oh, wow. Unfortunately, you went the wrong way.
Also, September only has 30 days.
September 29th.
That's the one. All right. Now, Gary, we let you guess twice, but hey, this is a fun game.
I had my hand up.
We're all having fun. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, so that's question 5. Gary gets the point. Question 6. Attackers exploited a vulnerability in what application to install malicious keylogging software on a LastPass employee's computer that would lead to a massive data breach at LastPass? What is the app that had a vulnerability exploited within?
George almost has it. I can see it. I can see it in his brain.
People who like media are to this company. Myself included.
Weird flex, Sarah.
Weird flex, but it's okay.
Tom D beat me.
All right, Tom D.
First thought was Winamp, but probably not.
It's not Winamp. Gary.
YouTube?
Not YouTube. It more acts as a storage application for media, beloved by many. Gary.
Dropbox?
Not Dropbox, although that's a good guess. George? You didn't even raise your hand.
Just take a crack, George. You can do it. You got this. Take a swing. No? Nothing?
Nope.
Google Drive.
Ah, Google Drive.
Wrong! What? How dare you tease them like that, Tom?
I hit the wrong button. That really wasn't meant to be as mocking as it came off.
Okay. The correct answer is the Plex media server. Plex.
Wow. Ah.
I know. I might not have gotten that either, and then I would have kicked myself, because I love Plex. It's one of my
Watch
favorites.
Out what apps you use, folks, even your Plex media server.
It's true. Okie dokie. This one, she's been in the news a lot lately. What was current CEO of X, Linda Yaccarino's previous job? Where did she work?
Like, not McDonald's in high school, but like right before X.
Yeah, like where was she poached from this year?
I don't know if she worked at McDonald's in high school.
She worked in... I'm trying to give you...
I would have thought she was proud of that job. But...
Oh, that's not a helpful hint, Tom. I know what you're doing.
Apparently not.
How about this? We know that she was hired by X to help boost advertising revenue because she's got a lot of history with that. What company did her history with advertising give her a good reputation? Tom D.
Google?
Not Google.
Alphabet.
Gary. Not Alphabet either. More of a, one would say, a legacy company.
These are advertising companies. You're right. But not the kind of advertising company that Linda was
in. All right, George.
Yahoo?
Not Yahoo. Anybody else want to take a crack? All right, three cracks and you're out. It was NBC Universal. She was head of advertising at NBC Universal. Yeah.
Oh, the proud bird. Okay.
It's a great hint, but just, you know, who's going to get that? All right. Question number 8. What is self-driving taxi service Cruise's parent company? Who owns Cruise, the autonomous vehicle operation? Tom D.
Waymo?
It's not Waymo. Waymo is a competitor to Cruise, not the owner. Gary.
Sorry, Alphabet.
Not Alphabet either.
Alphabet owns Waymo, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. People get Waymo and Cruise. Those are often, get them mixed up. George.
Uber?
Not Uber, although Uber has its own autonomous operation as well. Gary?
Meta?
Not Meta. Think of this as more of an old school type auto company. Might have been around for a minute or two.
Generally speaking.
Gary.
General Motors.
Okay. Gary gets it.
That's what I was going to say before you said that, Tom. So
There you go. Yeah, I mean, Tom, he didn't even really give you a hint. All right. Question number 9. OpenAI has ChatGPT. Google has Gemini. But what is Meta's family of LLMs called? Gary.
Bard?
Not Bard. Okay. That's Google.
Bard is Google's, yeah. Right.
Google's, yeah, okay.
But you're going down the right path. Gary.
Is it not just called... Oh.
Oh, George.
Oh, go ahead, George.
Is it not just Meta GPT?
It's nope. Not Meta GPT. The name... almost makes you feel like you're at the zoo, Gary.
Oh, at the zoo.
A petting zoo. Maybe.
Tom mentioned Winamp earlier today. Just made me nostalgic.
Right?
Yep, that's Lama, it. Okay.
I was trying to make it Lambda. So.
No, Llama.
I actually read it as Lambda quite often. Yeah. Even though it's... Big L, big two L's, little A, big M, big A. That
stands for Large Language Model Meta AI. So Meta's in the name, just not the acronym.
Exactly. All right. Final question in our lightning round. What did Meta do in response to the passing of Canada's Bill C-18, a.k.a. the Online News Act? What did Meta do in response? Tom D.
Did they withdraw from the market?
They did.
Well, they didn't withdraw more specific? The entire service. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like a much more specific.
Yeah, now, they still offer Facebook in Canada. So what did they withdraw from the market?
C-18 is also known as the Online News Act. Gary?
They withdrew their news coverage.
That's correct. That's correct. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, they blocked news. So Facebook actually doesn't have news coverage, but they blocked news for Instagram and Facebook users to comply.
All right, so looks like, what do we got here? What's the total here? We got Gary, 1, 2, 3, 4. We got George with 2. And we've got Tom with 1. So I think we've got a clear winner, and that is you, Gary. Congratulations. I hope you feel as good as we felt trying to stump y'all on these questions, which were really quite hard, Roger.
Thank you,
maybe
Roger.
Some softballs next holiday season.
All right, for our second challenge, there's no wrong answers unless you're on the other side of the debate from another person. It's the great debate. We've done this on GDI a bunch, you know, is taco a sandwich kind of stuff. And our debate question is simply this, and then we'll just open it up to people arguing one way or another. But we want to find out what side you're on first. Is Star Wars American or British? That is the debate question that Roger has put forth in front of us today. Let's start with you, George. Where do you fall on the great debate? Is Star Wars American or British?
Good question.
Which side will you argue? You're going to have to argue a side.
Ultimately, it's American.
Ultimately, it's American, says the Brit.
That's what I'm deciding.
Yeah. Tom, is Star Wars American or British? What side of this debate will you like to start on?
I think I agree with George. That is ultimately American.
Ultimately American. All right, Gary, will you make it unanimous amongst the listeners? Is Star Wars American or British?
It's as American as you can get.
American as apple pie.
Yeah. I mean, the bad guys have British accents, so.
All right. Before we get to Sarah's side of this argument, we did have these sorts of points that Roger would like to put in front of you. The original and the sequels were shot in Britain with mostly British cast and British extras. British accents, as Gary just pointed out, pervade the empire. Not always evil. Sometimes, you know, Mon Mothma. Yeah. Prop designers who came up with the designs for aliens, droids, weapons, etc., were all British. Sarah, where do you fall on is Star Wars American or British?
I mean, I've never considered it to be British. Definitely the accents. But you've got your... Well, I'm also thinking old school Star Wars. Maybe I should, if we're thinking of just the entire galaxy, whole galaxy of programming, maybe there's a little bit more British in there. But ultimately, you know, it's Luke, Leia, and Han. They're American.
Not. They're from Tatooine, Alderaan, and Corellia.
Yeah. But they're... the actors that I loved very much as a child are American, so I can't decouple that from my answer. Star Wars is American.
All right. I don't know how you all can say that Star Wars is American when it was entirely shot in Britain with British people in the cast. Yeah, you named the Americans on here, but they're not from America.
They're the best ones.
Yeah. George Lucas was American, right? Yeah,
it was ultimately his idea.
Beatles recorded songs written by Americans almost exclusively in their earlier days. So that makes the Beatles American.
Oh, Tom.
Hi.
It's the great debate. What do you mean, oh, Tom?
Yes. I am going to jump in here as the producer is allowed. Producer's privilege here. I will actually argue that Star Wars is very much British because you would not have the Star Wars that you know, the look, the feel, without the British influence. The director for this, for Empire Strikes Back, British. The directors for the sequels, British. A lot of the way the worlds feel, the way the costumes and all that, all British. A very British sensibility into the construction of R2-D2 in C-3PO and Chewbacca. If you actually saw what the original drawings were like that Lucas had for Star Wars, they're very much different. And I don't think I don't think I could bridge that gap. There's a really good series from the BBC on Star Wars made in Britain that it goes through point by point on why Star Wars in many cases is more British than it is American.
Well, has Roger swayed any of you?
No.
Not George, Gary. National pride. National pride.
George, Tom, Sarah, has Roger swayed you?
Well, I have to say.
He's pretty convincing, to be honest. But
got some good points.
Go ahead, George.
No, I will say this. Watch, and if you have Disney streaming, if you watch Andor, there's a feel to it that is very Star Wars and very familiar, and it's because it was done all in Britain with British extras, British writers, British director, British everything. It is as British as Jaguar or Jaguar the Big Ben or
all the things you could say.
Jaguar. Well, what's the other Britain thing that Britons like to point out?
Land Rover.
Land Rover. That's it.
I had a Cortina once. English Ford.
Yeah, it's a Ford, but in Britain.
Well, I don't know. Doctor You're pretty passionate about this, Roger. Okay, Star Wars is
British.
I see
why Roger picked this, because he wanted to make this argument.
You're right. It is a fine. Very...
Doctor Who is British.
Yes.
Black Mirror is British, even though some of it's set in America. But not Star Wars. Star Wars, that belongs to us. Sorry, George.
Not even George, like a compromise, not like a War of 1812, a Ghent, Treaty of Ghent, nothing. No, we get to split things 50-50. No,
I'll give you 10%.
10%.
No, you have to be swayed.
Wow, you're 100%. A hard bargainer, George. You have found your inner Britain. Embrace it, and may the force be with you.
Tom, Sarah, we have Roger and George on the yes, it is British. Gary on the no, it's American side. Where do you end up at the end of our debate?
Tom, what do you think? Have you been swayed?
No, because of all the times I've seen Star Wars, I've never thought of it as British. It's always been American. Yes, there are British actors. Yes, Obi-Wan, both versions. Is British, but that's incidental. It was made by George Lucas. It was all his idea. I'm guessing they just did it in the UK just because of budget. It was probably cheaper over there at the time. I have no idea.
I mean, yeah, yes, that is true. But imagine Tom Selleck as Obi-Wan, and that's not Obi-Wan. That's just Tom Selleck without a mustache.
Yeah. Sarah. I don't want to imagine Tom Selleck as Obi-Wan. Yeah, I gotta stick with it. I think probably there's just too much of being a kid in the good old US of A when Star Wars came onto the scene. Well, actually, I wasn't alive yet, but you get my point. And yeah, I always did wonder, like, why are there so many accents in a galaxy? And it's a long time ago. Like, wasn't there, like, not even in America? But we don't know. We weren't there. So, yeah, I'm gonna stick with my original gut and say it's American. As Gary said, as much as apple pie is.
And Tom, you're sticking with it. Star Wars is American then.
Yeah, I'm sticking with that.
All right. It's 3-2. Star Wars is American. That is the end of the great debate. Folks, if you have feedback about this, if you're on a different side than these folks, or you want to mention anything that gets brought up on the show, get in touch with the DTNS audience at DTNS Show on X, at DTNSShow.mstdn.social on Mastodon, at Daily Tech News Show on TikTok, and DTNS Pix with an X, DTNS PIX on Instagram and Threads.
All right. Final challenge to you all. This is a fun one. We just get to use our imaginations here. Okay, so here goes. The goal of this challenge, which is called Mount Rushmore, a real place in America. Goal of the Mount Rushmore game is simple. If you could create your own version of Mount Rushmore based on tech hardware, gadgets, which four things would you choose to be in your Mount Rushmore of tech hardware? Now, Gary, we've got some notes from you. But
this is inspired by Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour podcast. They do this all the time, and I like this idea. So we want to acknowledge that.
Yeah. So we've got some notes from you in here, Gary. You've obviously put some thought into it. Would you like to go first?
Sure. For all four here?
Four gadgets.
All right. Well, I started off with the PDP-11. I'm, you know, approaching the middle of late youth in my life here, and so I've been around for a while. And the first computer I ever wrote an application for was in Fortran 4 in 1974 on a PDP-11-based mainframe called a DEC 10. And it was like the first really popular, what they called mini computer at the time. It wasn't that mini compared to what we have now, but it was... And I also, I ran a microcircuit test machine that was powered by a PDP-11. And I even thought about it the other day. I was watching 3 Days of the Condor and from 1975, and in one of the first scenes, there's a PDP-11 right front and center. So it's the first mini computer that had wide use, preceded the VAX. I put that up there as my first thing. The next one's also a DEC product. It's the VT100 dumb terminal. When I started programming, I sat down in front of a key punch machine, and you know, I'd punch these cards out, and I'd put them in a DEC. I'd put them on a shelf. An operator would come out, run them through the computer, and then I would get a printout or maybe another DEC of cards. And one day, one of the operators came out and sort of grabbed me by the shoulders and took me into a dimly lit room where they had a little TV set with a typewriter keyboard in front of it. And that was a VT100 terminal, which saved a lot of paper. also saved a lot of frustration, because if you made a mistake, you could just backspace over it. And, and then the third thing would be the Apple Macintosh, the first one. It brought a, what's the word I'm looking for here? Graphical user interface, an intuitive, graphical user interface to the masses. And in my case, at that time, I was still working at Hughes Aircraft Company, and I was working as a test engineer, writing test instructions for, the techs. And up until then, we had to write them out in pencil on a piece of paper. And then if we had any circuit diagrams or anything like that, we had to actually draw them. And then we'd send the text out to a typing pool to get it typed up. It would get mimeographed. Then we would interleave the any graphics we had with them. And with the Mac, I put a lot of typing pools out of business. We just did the whole thing by ourselves. And it took a lot less time. So I would definitely put the Macintosh up there. And my last product, I kind of went back and forth on this one, but it's another Apple product, the iPod. And that allowed you, the first one, if you only had 1,000 songs in your library, you could take your whole music library with you. And you know, it eventually evolved into what we now carry around in our pockets, iPhones. It started up something, I don't know, they're getting really, really popular. They're called podcasts.
Never catch on.
So I think, those are my four things, Mount Rushmore. The tech Mount Rushmore.
I love it. I like your Mount Rushmore, Gary. All right. George and Tom, you've had a little time to think as Gary was explaining his Mount Rushmore. George, why don't you go second?
Okay, sure. So when I was thinking about Mount Rushmore, obviously you want four iconic sort of items up on the Mount Rushmore, right? So I was just thinking about the most iconic looking sort of items. I've got the iPhone. Obviously, you know, made famous by Jobs's announcement, you know, combining all elements. You've got the iPod, you've got the phone, you've got the internet. So, and obviously, an iPod itself as an icon is,
yeah, definitely.
I'm pretty sure everyone recognizes it. Secondly, I've got a computer console. I've picked the NES, which is the, yeah, it's called the NES, isn't it? Yeah. And I've put that because for me, I felt that was when I recognized gaming, and actually my whole family recognized gaming was becoming popular. And obviously Mario, the Mario games, everybody knew what Mario was, and yeah, so that puts gaming on the map, let's say. The other icon I was thinking about was the Sony mm-hmm. Walkman. You can't not recognize the blue one made famous most recently with the Guardians of the Galaxy, but also you've got the iconic yellow sports one. I think Sarah said you still got yours.
I'll never give it up. It still works fine. Why would I?
Yeah, so just the word Walkman is iconic in itself. And then lastly, I was debating about whether to put a Prius or a Tesla. So either of those sort of signaling the end of the combustion engine as we know it.
I like your Mount Rushmore, George. Good stuff. All right, Tom D., you've got four iconic Mount Rushmore things to chip away into stone. And what will you be revealing?
Well, iPhone was mentioned specifically, but I wrote specifically down smartphones. So that would include Androids as well as iPhones. And I got my iPhone here. Because, you know, this changed everything the way we do everything. Mm-hmm. Like, the way I communicate now is not how I did 20 years ago.
No. I mean,
everyone has a smartphone in a way that people didn't have computers. So that's a great one.
Yeah. So going off of smartphones, we got the e-readers, the e-ink e-readers, which, you know, you now have a giant pile of books. Now that's your giant pile of books.
Yeah.
Much more accessible and
so much easier portable. To carry that around. And yeah. and people, that's one of those single use devices that has survived in a way that a lot of others either haven't or become nostalgia items like iPods. Yeah.
So my third item, fiber optic cables. These connect the globe. We don't have these. We don't have the super fast, super reliable internet that we have now.
Yeah. Think undersea cables, right? Not just the ones that come to your home. You may be like, right. Well, I don't have fiber in my home, but all of the backbones of the internet are fiber.
Yeah, but it's still basically this. This is basically the same thing. It's just a fiber optic cable. Yeah. And then finally, don't have a visual aid for this, but GPS. Mm-hmm. That changed how we got around. Instead of piles of paper maps, now we got our phones telling us where to go and how to get to places.
Just pick up your phone again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right. There you go. GPS,
kind of be bookends, you know, nice symmetry for your Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my four.
All right. These are good. Everybody had something a little unique, something a little different. Thanks for using your imagination, and we'll all, I don't know, be building our Mount Rushmores. I don't know, maybe in our own backyards or something. It'll be a fun holiday event. So, yeah, get to whittling stone. Is that what? How do you?
Yeah, it's harder, but that's the right way. Yeah.
She would. It's gonna take a while, guys. So get started today.
Chisel and a hammer. Yeah.
Chisel.
I would think of more explosive.
Yeah, there we go.
Mm, yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
I like the way you think.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks to all three of you for being here. It's always really fun to be able to not just, you know, see you, but talk to the folks that see and listen to us day after day. So thanks to you, George Tsang, so much for being with us. And I hope the weather is good in your part of the world.
Unfortunately, not at the moment. It's just raining, so British weather for you. But yeah, thanks for having me. If you want to hit me up, I'm on the all the socials at Geo Yakult.
Yakult, like cool. The yogurt drink.
Indeed.
That's how it's spelled, right?
Thanks for-
yeah, just so people know how to spell it.
In fact, many of you have seen George around, even though you might have only known him by his handle. Now, Tom, I'm going to do my best here because you didn't help me beforehand, and I really should have asked. Tom Di Gianvittorio Jr., how did I do?
That's pretty close. I always say Di Gianvittorio.
Okay. It's a pretty cool last name, got to say.
Thank you.
Tom, it's been super fun. I know you're a football fan because I'm able to take a little peek into your office. But let folks know where they can find you when you're not with us.
I just go with my Twitter handle, CaptainJack913. You know, I hardly ever post anything on there. But really, if you want to find me every week, twitch.tv/WSkies1 is Friday night Jackbox game nights. They're super fun.
Love it. And finally, Gary Fisher, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're
let
welcome.
Folks know how they can find you and what you're up to.
Well, what I'm up to mostly these days is I have a Substack newsletter called Diary of a Senior Geek, which is a continuation of an old podcast that I had called Diary of a Senior Geek. And I'm actually republishing some of the episodes of my old podcast, remastering them. Just the ones that are on evergreen subjects. So you might want to check that out. Just go to Substack and search for Diary of a Senior Geek.
Excellent.
Well, thanks to all three of you, and thanks to everyone out there who supports the show. We could not have done it without you. You can always support our show at any level at dailytechnewsshow.com/Patreon.
Speaking of patrons, we don't have live shows this holiday week, but we're normally live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's 2100 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. But we will see you tomorrow with our Best of Good Day Internet 2023. Should be fun.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.